kids out. You know, we have people on call. So when you call, we're coming out. We're coming out to fix that furnace. It doesn't matter. Weekend, holiday weekend, you know, Christmas Eve. Doesn't matter. Whatever it takes to get somebody going again and get comfortable.
It sounds like you really pride yourself on customer service.
Absolutely. I mean, without our customers, we're not in business. I mean, we owe everything to our customers, and we're here to serve them.
How do they get a hold of you? What's the first step?
Well, give us a call, you know, 325-3969, or visit us online, comfortair.biz.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Eye Weather Center.
This afternoon, skies will be mostly sunny with a south breeze at 5 to 15. We'll see our highs get into the middle 80s. For tonight, skies will be partly cloudy with a south wind at 5 to 15. We'll be seeing our lows drop back to 60 degrees. Saturday starting off partly cloudy, and then we'll see increasing clouds through the day. South winds picking up to 10 to 20, and our highs will make it into the middle 80s. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro.
Thank you, Greg. Under sunny skies across the area, it's 70 in Wausau, 70 in Marshfield, 71 in Point, and sunny and 70 here at AM 1320 in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Riverview Hospital in Wisconsin Rapids. It's time for part two. Once again, here's Carl Hilke.
Thank you, Jerry, and it's time for another edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Their number to call is 715-422-0700, 422-0700. They're located right behind the post office in downtown Wisconsin Rapids. And like I said, we are continuing our international theme with the topic International Investing in Developed and Emerging Countries. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning. How are we doing here today?
I'm doing fine.
You know, the opening of Facebook today.
Yes. I imagine you got your shares.
Well, you know, I wish I could say that I did, but you would, with 338 million shares, I think they offered, they still were quite tight in things, but it priced 38, and looks like it's going to open in the 40s, so we'll see what happens.
It's amazing. It's an amazing story. Our topic today is international investing, and we hear the term developing or emerging countries and the like. So I think maybe we should begin with some simple definitions of what we're talking about.
Well, you know, I think these definitions would vary from person to person, but, you know, developed, not surprisingly, would mean the countries that have been in doing business for a long, long time. So the first one that obviously would step to the plate would be Europe. You know, they've been probably the oldest civilizations known to mankind, and so developed would be the old typical countries you would think of versus emerging. And again, emerging is kind of a term that it can be applied in a lot of different ways, but emerging is basically the countries that are maybe going through some of the activities that, you know, the United States went through maybe in the 40s and the 50s, and, you know, starting, you know, relying a lot on manufacturing, relying on exporting, taking advantage of some of those natural resources. You know, I think these are really the countries that, as we'll get into today's topic, are probably the most intriguing, and we'll talk a little bit about those. But the emerging countries would be things that at some point in people's career they would kind of cringe at. I mean, China and India and Brazil.
I was going to ask you how what used to be called the communist bloc would fit in. China, still a communist political state, but pretty much a capitalist or state capitalist type of economy. And then Russia, it's got its things, and then you have the Eastern European countries. How are they classified as emerging markets?
Oh, they're all classified as emerging markets. And that's why, going back to my previous comment about definition, this year, or maybe even late last year, China basically overtook Japan as the second most productive economy in the world. And so, China is the number one holder of our debt. But China is classified as emerging, and Russia, probably would be in that category of the communist bloc, the next in line. And then, you know, obviously the Polands and things like that don't get nearly as much publicity, but are also intriguing little ways to play in that.
Okay, and then we get to the question, why should an investor make these emerging markets a part of their portfolio?
Well, you know, I think one of the charts that I use quite often in talking to clients is that, you know, investing on the equity side is all about really where is the growth going to come from? Because if the country, companies in the country, are going to grow, the value of those companies and their stocks will go up in value. It's a very simple premise. And so I show them this chart that looks at basically the composition of growth for the various places as it looks at from 1998 to 2008. And at that point in time, China was about 16% of the world's growth. The United States was 24%, all right? Europe was 23%. So Europe and United States kind of seen as the development was 47% of the growth of the world, all right?
Right.
Whereas China and India were 6% for India and 16% for China, all right? So as we then go to 2009 through the 2013, this particular study looked at the potential for where these growth percentages would be, and we'd see that in that period of time that China might now have projected to have 32% of it. So their growth would double. And when you're talking about 4 years, by the rule of 72, you know, that's 18% a year. You look at China going from 6% to a projection of 9%. That's 50% a cumulative return, which roughly is probably about 10 or 11% on a compounded basis. Mideast Africa. Again, who would want to put any money in Africa? You got the legends of Idi Amin and the crazy inflation in some of those places. But obviously, when you start looking about a world where we continue to start using up our natural resources, Africa probably hasn't been tapped. And so they project that growth to go from 6 to 10%. So you're looking at potentially tremendously improved growth rates. I mean, if you look at the GDP growth rates in over the last 4 or 5 years, Russia's average double digits, about 11%. China's been 12.7. India's been 10.7. And then you look at the United States, the average has been... you got to take out 08 where the world almost ended, but you know, it's 3%, but it hasn't really been 3% for a couple years now. Canada, which has had a great appreciation in their dollar and all the natural resources they own, has still only been about 3.3. The UK has been negative. Japan has been negative. And so, you know, how much money do you want working in a economy that really isn't growing that fast versus diversifying and putting something in countries that are, their growth rates are much better, but their balance sheets are much better. You know, if you look at the United States and with $15 trillion in debt, and, you know, again, this year, the projected budget looks like we're going to be another $1 trillion in 1 year. you know, is that the kind of balance sheet that is going to foster growth, or is it going to be a thing where they're going to have to decrease spending? You look at what's going on in Greece and Spain, whereby their deficits are huge, and so one of the ironies is, I mean, X number of years ago, really, would you have thought that Brazil's probably got one of the best balance sheets of any country in the world? China's got a tremendous balance sheet. And so you have countries that have abilities because of the strength of their balance sheets to do things so that if the economy slows, they can stimulate the economy. If the economy speeds up, they can raise rates. You know, we're kind of at a point where in our country, where, really, can you take interest rates down any lower?
No.
The answer is no. So, you know, you can't get that stimulus from that, and we're seeing it right now. I mean, I think we talked about this on a different show, but the housing market. I mean, at one point, I think 15-year mortgages were like 3%. I mean, which, how far back do you need to go to see if you can get a 3% mortgage? I think if you weren't in the armed services, you might never been able to get that in history. Pricing has been depressed because of that, but yet we're not stimulating anything. On the other side, on the fiscal side, where you know, oftentimes they institute programs that they put money into the system. Well, you know, how much more money can we put in? How much more debt? So these countries that have great balance sheets are obviously in a better position to stand the test of time.
Okay. We're talking about international investing on Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Coming back, we'll talk more about some of the advantages of doing this and the smart way to invest internationally.
People look at me different now. It's like they know what I did. That I drank way too much one night, then tried to drive home drunk, and then slammed head-on into a young woman, killing her. I can't just wash my hands of the fact that she died because of me. Drunk driver.
When you drive drunk and kill someone, you'll never be able to wash the blood from your hands. Drive sober or get pulled over, and let's achieve zero deaths on Wisconsin roads. Zero in Wisconsin, a vision we can all live with. Wisconsin DOT.
The Home Depot has made a special buy on jumbo six-packs of annuals, now just $4.88. A $3 savings and definitely more spring per dollar. Their bigger root systems grab hold and grow faster. Great for flower beds or large containers. And they'll accent your budget beautifully. Turn on the color and the compliments with jumbo six-packs of annuals, now just $4.88. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 9th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
This afternoon, skies will be mostly sunny with a south breeze at 5 to 15. We'll see our highs get into the middle 80s. For tonight, skies will be partly cloudy with a south wind at 5 to 15. We'll be seeing our lows drop back to 60 degrees. Saturday starting off partly cloudy, and then we'll see increasing clouds through the day. South winds picking up to 10 to 20, and our highs will make it into the middle 80s. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro.
Thank you, Greg. A sunny 70 degrees here at AM 1320. Welcome back to this month's edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bryan. They're located here in Wisconsin Rapids. Their phone number, 715-422-0700. We are talking about international investing in developed and emerging countries. So obviously, Peter, one of the reasons why you would like to make international investing part of your portfolio is the rate of return. Some of the other advantages and also some of the pitfalls people should watch out for, like how much, how big of a, you gave me this article about, I believe it was from the Wall Street Journal, in emerging markets, going deeper can boost returns. How deep should we go?
Well, you know, again, the answer to that question is always a byproduct of, you know, a lot of different factors. You know, what's your asset allocation, what's your comfort level in terms of risk tolerance and things like that. Because let's talk a little bit about the risk, because that'll kind of play into how the answer to this question. You know, I think it's easy as Americans to assume the way things go here is somewhat the way they are all over the world, all right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the fallacies of that needs to be considered understand that is a fallacy, I guess, because international brings a lot of interesting opportunities, but let's just talk a little bit about the risk side of the equation. You know, first of all, you have the currency risk. So, you know, as the currencies rise or fall, that impacts their dollar, which then means, you know, if you have a strong dollar or a strong currency, essentially people will come and want to be in that currency, so you have a lot of money coming into your system. Likewise, if you have a weak currency, money is probably coming out of that currency. So, you know, the rise and fall of the currency obviously has an effect on the companies and the countries in there, all right? Then you have a very basic premise is that, and you've seen this and it's been reported several times, is the accounting procedures.
Okay.
All right. Unfortunately, the companies and countries don't all have a uniform accounting system that can vary from country to country. As you've seen in the last 3 or 4 years, it would appear that, you know, China has a very aggressive accounting system, or maybe the opposite is not necessarily a very thorough way of accounting in. And we've seen quite a few, you know, prominent hedge fund investors that have gotten burned substantially because of fraud and because of bad accounting, that they can't rely necessarily on the balance sheets and the income statements. You have political risk.
Right.
Most recently, the country of Argentina decided to nationalize the oil company, which is predominantly owned by a Spanish company. I believe it's Repsol. So, you know, shades of when Libya took over some of our companies,
right.
Venezuela took over some of this. So, you know, you could be invested in, the fund you're in could have been invested in the oil company of Argentina, and all of a sudden, publicly held company, or it's a country held company now. So, you also have, and we saw it in Thailand, we've seen it in other, where you occasionally have these uprisings and makes the government unstable.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that obviously has an effect on confidence, you know, what's going to happen, with the economy and things like that. The last issue is more of a market trading issue, and that's the issue of liquidity in their marketplaces.
Okay.
All right, and that by that I mean, you know, if you look at today, which is the extreme, but there's a good chance Facebook could trade almost 1 billion shares today.
Wow.
So there's a lot of liquidity.
I mean, right.
Coming and buying and going and selling. If you're one of the successful markets and stories in the last 2 years have been Turkey. Well, you know, I would bet there isn't a company in Turkey that trades 100 million shares. And so the ability to get in and get out obviously is impacted, because what happens in all markets is that when liquidity dries up, and this is what's happening with JP Morgan now, is that no one's offering, because the liquidity and people know they're in a spot, they're not bidding anything up. They're waiting for this to continue to fall before they take their profits and stuff. So liquidity is a tremendously important thing, and in all markets it isn't created equal. So, you know, China's market's more liquid than probably Russia's market, which is more liquid than you know, Turkey's market, et cetera, et cetera. So, the last thing that's not really a risk, but is something that, a lot of times that the dividends, any distributions from the established companies, are subject to a 15% withholding tax. So,
okay.
If you buy individual shares, say of Telefonica, which is the Spanish, telephone company,
right.
which actually is one of the biggest telephone companies in the world, you would 15% of what distributions you would receive, they withhold, then you can write it off on your taxes, tax return if it's not in retirement account. So that's not really a huge risk, but it's obviously a consideration. And so when you think about that, you know, you don't necessarily want to put in 100% of your money in the emerging markets. But, you know, the way we like to look at it at Buena Vista is that the emerging markets are going to be, and if you go back and look at any charts and stuff, it's not unusual for them to be up 50% one year and down 30 the next. So, mm-hmm. you know, your ups and downs are very exaggerated.
Okay.
And so, you know, we'd like to look at trying to get, you know, when it's made a 20 or 25% downward move, is starting to move some money in, all right? If it makes that 40 or 50% move, we certainly don't want to be buying into that move. Sometimes we might, if we had a 5% allocation in those particular thing and it's risen to 8 or 9%, you know, we take some of our profits and scale down. But the emerging markets are one I think you got to look at. You know, you want representation there. Try and buy on the dips and build, because those are going to be the most dynamic growers, I believe, over the next decade.
Okay, and what are the ways people can invest in these markets?
Well, you know, one of the things is that the markets of the world have pretty much become very homogeneous in the type of vehicles you can invest in. I mean, I think the most risk, the highest risk, maybe highest returns, is to you can buy individual shares, individual companies' shares in the marketplace. ADRs are American Depository Receipts of certain companies that will trade on the New York Exchange that you can get into. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, it's hard to get a diversified portfolio buying individual names unless you have seven-figure type money, and so. By buying one or two, you know, you might have a great opportunity, but if something happens to those particular issues, obviously your risk is a little more accelerated because you don't have the diversification. So you can buy individual shares either right from the marketplace and in the form of ADRs, or you can try and reach out to the individual market, which, you know.
Okay.
Try and get them off the China market, but that's really not a practical thing. All right. The more realistic way, in my opinion, our opinion at Buena Vista, would be that you look at either mutual funds.
Okay.
All right. Number one, because what you have is on the mutual funds, a lot of specialization in terms of particular styles and particular countries,
right.
or things like that. So you can, you know, if you love Brazil but don't want to take the risk of finding two or three companies there, you know, these funds are essentially have analysts. They kick the tires. They go down there. They interview people. They look at things. They concentrate in particular countries' economics. And they are doing all the road work for you. They're making the decisions based on information, based on, you know, talking to the heads of companies, the country leaders, and things like that. And so those particular mutual funds is probably a relatively interesting way to do that. And whether you do something that's broad-based in developed companies or broad-based in emerging companies or broad-based in particular countries, you know, those are three different ways to do it. The other way is just like in the United States, exchange-traded funds, ETFs, allow you the ability to get into these particular situations similar to mutual funds, but have the liquidity of watching it trade tick by tick, day by day, and things like that. And again, in ETFs, the thing you really want to be concerned with is how many shares a day do they trade? You know, if you if you trade 2,500 shares a day versus 25 million shares a day, you know, the bid and ask is going to be fairly, the ability of what you can buy it at versus where you're selling it is going to be a larger spread than if you trade quite a few shares. Obviously, the ETFs gives you the ability to get out at a moment's, you know, versus the mutual funds, which is always the end of the day. But those would be the predominant ways of which the ETFs and the mutual funds give you the most diversification. Buena Vista and stuff, we like one of the ways we go about the emerging markets and some of the developed markets is to, again, in this yield-starved world, to look at particular investments in those two arenas that generate an income stream. And so, you know, there's things out there that are investing that you can invest in that is generating dividends anywhere from 3 to 7%. You know, Europe's a mess right now, but that doesn't mean all the companies that are domiciled in Europe are a mess. But when, as we've seen in all markets, when they sell off, it's the old cliche of they throw out the baby with the bathwater. Yeah. And so you're seeing, you know, Unilever and some Nestle's and some really quality names that, you know, you actually use their product and that Philip Morris International, these particular companies yielding 5, 6, 7%. And so by buying them in a fund with diversification, you know, it's a way to play the international market, but yet get paid for why you wait and things. So it's really an intriguing field. It's something that, you know, we like to think America is the place, that America's biggest and the best. But, yeah, you know, we start looking at the growth rates in particular countries. Like in 1990, the world GDP did over a little over $20 trillion. Mm-hmm. And by 2010, they're doing almost $80 trillion.
Wow.
We look at, in that same time frame, the U.S. hasn't been able. We look at things like the market share of Asia was 22% in 1990, and it's probably going to hit about 36% of the world's capitalization. So you start looking at those numbers, and you know, you get a real good reason why some portion of your portfolio, if you especially you're growth oriented, should be in international.
And if you want to talk about international investing with the folks at Buena Vista Investment Management, give them a call at 715-422-0700, 422-0700. Peter, after listening to you this morning, it's just another example, I guess, of the world is getting smaller with of everything, with the means of travel, with technology, the way we communicate. I mean, billions of dollars can move millions of miles in the touch of a keyboard, and it's you know, there's opportunities and risks involved, and that's why they need to talk to folks like you.
Well, I'd like to think so, but yeah, you're absolutely correct. You have different labels, names, countries, but essentially, you know, it's the same type of thing, and you're looking for the best opportunities, and, you know, there's always risk-reward with everything, but again, by having a little representation in a lot of different baskets, you usually have got something in your portfolio that's working for you.
I think it's also a reason why we need to, and this is my editorial comment, need to educate our elected officials on the fact that money can move very easily around the world. You know?
Absolutely, and I think that's something that people maybe intellectually understand but emotionally don't understand. And, you see it all the time in these, that all of a sudden you get the flight of capital, all those markets, and that's what creates all this volatility.
Well, this has been a very interesting discussion. I appreciate your time and the research you put into this, and I look forward to our next class, Professor.
I appreciate it. It's always a pleasure to be on here and try and help educate the listeners and